Today is Monday, May 17th, 2010. The interviewer is Tara Harrell, a direct descendant of John Pipes Jr. from Kentucky, a revolutionary soldier. I'm interviewing Sarah Pipes Munson from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She's a descendant of Windsor Pipes, another revolutionary soldier, John's brother. We know that Sarah may be the last living relative who knew David W. Pipes, who was in the New Orleans Washington Artillery in the Civil War. This unit was pretty famous. It was in the Army of Northern Virginia and at one time attached to the Stonewall Brigade. And he was also in the opening of Pickett's Charge. Thank you, Mrs. Munson, for agreeing to do this interview today. Thank you. Let me start off by asking you to just start telling us any memories that you have of David W. Pipes, how old you were, and things like that.
Well, the first memory I have is when Aunt Nan invited my mother and I down to a carnival, just a carnival day. I was to look at the parade. Their home was just about a block from St. Charles Avenue, and that's where all the parades went down. And it was really exciting for me. I don't know how old I was, but I think I was in school, but let's say about six or seven years old. And she invited Mother to a ball, a carnival ball, which Mother went to that night and enjoyed. But Aunt Nan had a little friend. I remember it was we sat behind a gate, and she had little gold chairs within the gate for us to sit and watch the parade. All right.
Who was
that? Was my first memory of them.
Who is Aunt Nan that you're speaking of?
Oh, Aunt Nan married Uncle Dave.
Okay.
And this is really not my. This is my great Uncle Dave and my great aunt, but I never called them that. Excuse me, they were my daddy's aunt and my daddy's uncle, and he called them Uncle Dave and he called them Aunt Nan. So that's just the word. But I will just refer to them with that, if that's all right.
That's fine. Okay. Tell us about his home in New Orleans.
Oh, it was just lovely, and it is still there. It's, well, I guess you might call it a mansion, but Aunt Nan had it so gracious and hospitable. She was so hospitable. Aunt Nan and Uncle Dave would meet you with a smile. They were just acted like, oh, they were just so excited that you could come. And they just were charming and dear people. Of course, in the daytime, Uncle David was working. And so I would just see Aunt Nan when we would arrive there. And then he would come and have the dinners with us. But they were just a darling couple. They were devoted to each other, too.
When did you first, what was some of the first stories you heard about, and when did you first hear about that he had been in the war?
You're talking about the Civil War.
The Civil War, correct.
Yeah, naturally. I don't remember them ever talking about that. And Daddy loved history, but I'm afraid I can't help you out on that. We didn't talk about the war. We were just having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to make sure I was happy. And later on, as a teenager, when there were parties and functions that I'd be invited to, I'd just call Aunt Nan and Uncle David ahead of time and ask if I could spend the night and bring a friend. And they were always very gracious and said, yes, indeed. And they were hospitable. The house was very hot. It was full of people because they always had cousins and guests and it was a fun place. I can mainly I was thinking about the two of them. It was you'd walk into a lovely hallway with a nice stairway upstairs, and then to right was what they called a double parlor, mainly because it had two fireplaces. It was a large parlor. Well, behind that was kind of a sunroom, and it was just, the sunroom had many windows, and it was just lovely because Aunt Nan had beautiful camellias, and her garden was just wonderful. And anyway, that's kind of where they would sit and talk to me, I guess, to guests. It was less formal, let's say. It was less formal than the double parlor. And the dining room was off of that, off of the sunroom, well, behind the hall, the entrance hallway. But they would sit, and often as they were talking to me, I guess, they'd hold hands and smile. They were just so cute and dear and devoted.
So when did you realize then, as a young woman, that he had been in the Civil War? If he hadn't talked about it directly to you, who told you those stories?
What, did I tell you some stories about it?
Well, one time on the phone, you did tell me a few things about what he had done in the war, and that's why I was asking, you know, when did you first realize what he had really done in the war?
I don't know just when, but I have a really great newspaper article. It was written up in the Clinton. Clinton is a small town. Where he grew up, because the Beech Grove Plantation was just outside of Clinton. Anyway, the Clinton newspaper interviewed him when he was about 70, and I just love it. Do you have that?
Yes, I do.
You do? Isn't that a great article?
Yes.
Because it you can see his sense of humor. Because he didn't take things. He was a great, wonderful man. He was renowned for his ability to handle business and stuff. But he didn't take himself too seriously. I mean, he was so easy to talk to and stuff. But I think when that came out, and I don't know, I guess by the time I was in high school, I realized that he had to be above average in business ability to have a lovely home like that and to live like they did. No, you asked about the war. I just never was much interested in that war activities, but you say I talked about it, huh?
Well, the first time I talked to you on the phone, you started telling me quite a bit about what you knew about what he had done in the war.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did laugh about going in as a private and coming out as a private. He thought he was the only one. But later on, he wrote a diary about the war, and he really had a tough time. He went in so young. He persuaded his mother to let him go when he was about 17, I think. And he ended up in with Robert E. Lee's regiment. Yeah, and had a horse shot out from under him. And maybe I told you a story. I thought it was kind of cute. He said. Now, he might have told me this. No, I don't know, maybe Daddy told me that he wanted to join it. Oh, he just wanted to join the Army. So finally his mother let him go. And when the first meal was hominy or grits or hominy or something, and which they served, but no butter. And so he asked if they had gravy or butter, and they did not. So he said, well, I've never eaten grits or hominy without butter or gravy. So he didn't eat it. Little did he know, that's just the way they served it. It was that or nothing. I mean, he went hungry till the next meal.
Right.
Until You know, the Confederacy did the best they could, but they just didn't have a bottom. I don't think the Yankees did either.
Right.
It was just kind of a joke. That was so unimportant.
Later in life, did anyone ever talk about him to you, or did the family discuss what he had done in the war?
In the war?
Mm-hmm.
I would read about, yes, he'd be, oh golly, the front door. Well, I'll just let him. I don't know what they want. It must be a package. Can't get the front door, please. Wait, get a key. Sorry, get a key. Tell him you're coming. Now, let's see, what was your question?
Your father or anyone else in your life, did they ever tell you stories or
about his being in the war?
Right.
Yeah, I imagine they did. Oh, and in fact, before television, yes, we talked a great deal about the war and the, just, I don't remember anything particular about Uncle David, but...
Mm-hmm. So do you remember when he died?
Yes, but I didn't go to the funeral. I think I was a senior in high school. Yes, I remember vaguely when he died, but I... with the lady.
Is she coming over
here? No, she's in Minnesota.
Well, I thought I was supposed to be... Oh, I see. I'm supposed to be...
Okay, my daughter... I asked my daughter to come in and take care of the front door and stuff so I wouldn't be interrupted, and she thought you were going to be here.
Oh.
No. I said, no, she's in Minnesota. All right, excuse me, where were we?
Talking about when David Pipes died and his funeral in New Orleans.
Yes. Now, you know, I heard one tale, and I kind of don't think it was true, but... my cousin Catherine Pipes, who was his granddaughter, told me that several weeks before he died, that he had been asked to be in a parade and to wear his uniform, in which he could still... He was very slim and erect, and so was Aunt Nan. They had wonderful posture. They stood erect and tall and handsome. But anyway, he could still get in his Civil War uniform, which was wool. And they asked him to be in the parade, and it was 4th of July. And 4th of July here is miserably hot. So I don't know. Who gave you this?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. My little granddaughter has been doing the David Pipes on the computer. I don't understand computers. Excuse me. My daughter just handed me this paper. But yes, they did talk about the war and stuff, but I don't remember a whole lot about that now.
When
I read about it,
he
did have a wonderful record.
You were talking about when he was in the parade on the 4th of July in his uniform.
Oh, and he got pneumonia. I mean, I can't verify this. I talked to Bill Borover, and he didn't know. He had never heard that tale.
So you do remember going to him and his wife's home quite a bit there in New Orleans in the Garden District for family parties and things?
Oh, yes. In those days they had, the debutantes would have parties. Nowadays the debutantes have group parties, but in those days it would be individual. And I remember their granddaughter, Sarah. We always tease. I was a Sarah Pipes, and this granddaughter of Aunt Nan and Uncle Davis was Sarah Pipes. And I said, well, she was the pretty smart Sarah Pipes, because she went to Vassar, and she was very pretty. Yes, they had lovely debutante parties and weddings, and that's mostly what we would go down to from Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is about 80 miles from New Orleans.
And from what I understand, that home in the Garden District, David Pipes' home, was kind of a central meeting ground for a lot of the Pipes family in that area, correct?
Oh yes. And isn't that nice that she made it available?
Mm-hmm.
She was always happy to have us. And when you say hospitality, she was very hospitable. And so was Uncle David, but he was working. I mean, it's usually the lady that does the greeting and the serving of the meals and stuff.
So he worked well later into life, even into his 80s then.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Well, he enjoyed it, so.
Mm-hmm. And he was quite a business leader in New Orleans, correct?
Oh, very much so. Not just New Orleans, but up in North Louisiana, he had a great deal of property. He was still raising cotton up in, Morehouse Parish, which is North Louisiana. And then he had extensive property in Clinton, which I'd say is South Louisiana or Central Louisiana. Oh, yes, he was still. And he would, when you have plantations, you can't just get somebody else. Well, he had somebody else managing them, but you have to kind of check on them all the time.
Right.
So he was was alert and always keeping up with all his business. And then in New Orleans, he had gotten into several things. And now this is something else I can't verify, but I remember Daddy telling me, I believe it was, that he owned. Now, this is, I guess maybe he was like 60 or 70, that he owned a block of offices just off of Canal Street, which would be, he had accumulated quite a... he started off raising cotton in Clinton, and then he had accumulated a great deal. Because he was careful, very careful.
Right. Let me ask you your personal thoughts now. Here it is, the year 2010. The Civil War was 150 years ago. And looking back, you knew someone, you talked to someone who actually was in the war and in some of the a very famous unit and in some of the very famous, most of the famous battles. What do you think about that now? Or do you think about that? That connection that almost makes it like yesterday.
Yes. Well, not only that, but like my mother and daddy knew somebody who had been a slave, and now I'm just kind of used to that.
Mm-hmm. Because again, from what I can tell, you're the only relative on any of the Pipes lines that still has memories of talking to him that I know of. Kind of like that connection backward for us all.
Yeah, that amazed me when you told me that. That gave me a shock.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm so young.
Yeah. But he was, 96 or 7 when he passed away? He lived a very long life, didn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I meant to find out when he died, but I didn't.
He died in 1939. And he was born.
I don't know how old he was.
Yeah, he was born in 1845. So he was about 94, 95 years old when he died.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought he was 100, but mm-hmm. I just really can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any of his things, like his uniform or anything that he brought back from the war, where they are today, who owns them?
No, I have no idea, but that's a good question.
Okay.
They might have given them to a museum or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know the different members of his children and grandchildren that have been carnival queens and stuff. stuff, they've given those to museum. I mean, their dresses.
Right.
Right. There are museums that like that. Look, one other thing I remember, we were visiting, and he had lost his appetite, which I said, oh, I wish I could lose my appetite, because I love to eat. But he and Aunt Nan both had lost their appetite. And so Daddy and I went down to see him, and Daddy had been to the drugstore, and the vitamin B12 or B6 or something was supposed to be so good for appetite, to make you have a better appetite. And Daddy had had a druggist put some B12 or whatever it was in some sherry and, you know, mixed it up. And so he gave Uncle Dave this sherry and Aunt Nan, too. Both of them just would, they were very tall and slim and erect, as I said. But they served, Aunt Nan served a wonderful dinner. It was just beautifully served in this beautiful dining room. Anyway, she didn't really have much appetite. So Daddy put his bottle of sherry, and he said, he put it on the mantelpiece, and he said, I want it to stay here where you can see it, because I want you to drink a little bit, maybe a jigger or something, before lunch and before dinner. And I remember that Uncle David said, if I could find something to really give people an appetite, I could make $1 million.
So you told me once he had very striking blue eyes.
Oh, yes, he had beautiful blue eyes. But, I mean, you would hardly call a man beautiful blue eyes, because he was all man. How you say beautiful eyes, he was kind of feminine, but he was all man. And they were alert. They were bright. And yes, my daughter says intelligent, yeah.
Very.
Yes. He was with it.
He was with it, as they would say today, probably.
Oh, yeah, he knew what was going on. And he had such a cute sense of humor.
Tell me about that. What do you mean by a cute sense of humor?
I got that remark about the appetite and making $1 million. I don't know, when you were talking to him, he had a lovely granddaughter, Sarah, that he raised. He and Aunt Nan reared, and the mother had died. And he adored her. He just adored her. She went to, she was smart, too. Oh, she was the smart Sarah Pike. She went to Vassar. But he didn't want her to wear shorts. I mean, this is before air conditioning.
Right.
Shorts was no big deal, but he I don't know, he made jokes about it, and she didn't go out of the house in shorts. I just can't remember any jokes that he would say, but in reading this, you said you have this article.
Correct.
He was kind of cute in that.
Many of his papers, like his diary, his journal, and a lot of those other things are on the Pipes family website, so people can read them.
Well, they are. That diary, I'm so glad.
Yes.
Isn't that diary wonderful?
Yes, yes. So many of those things. And also the pictures I took last spring of his home in the Garden District are now on the website, too. So as you're speaking about the home, people can see those images on the website.
Right.
Yes.
You didn't go inside, I guess not.
No. They were very gracious to let me walk around outside. They were having a party that day. I do have a question for you about Beech Grove, the plantation. I know it's now no longer standing. I believe it burned in the 1800s, so you probably never saw it, correct?
No, I never
okay.
did.
So the one pipe...
Actually, I wasn't interested in it until after I'd been married, and because we didn't inherit it. Let me see. Let's go back. We inherited some property close by with a home called Refuge. But I don't know why. I just was never interested in that until one day my husband and I were driving around and a friend took us there. Oh, took us to the little cemetery. There's a precious little cemetery there. And I maintain it. Well, everybody was happy to give me lots of money. I have quite a, I mean, way more than we need to maintain a little family cemetery. But it's a beautiful little cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
This is at Beech Grove.
Okay.
John Barton is very gracious about taking care of it right now. Because I'm kind of ancient, you know.
Okay. Is there any...
Well, I don't drive up there. It's 20 miles from Baton Rouge.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd want to tell us about David or his wife or any other memories you might have?
Let me see.
Do you remember when she passed away?
No, I really don't.
Okay.
By that time, I got, I was raising three daughters and I don't know, I just, they had, she had gotten senile, and the last time I went to see her, she really didn't know me, and, but she was gracious and was very interested in what was I want, what did I want,
mm-hmm.
You know, why was I there, but, so I it just got harder and harder for me to keep up with them. And I didn't. The funeral just slipped by. It was very private. Her children just took care of it, and I don't think it was even open to the public. It wasn't even in the paper. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very private.
Right.
Oh, I know what she had. They'd moved her. Homer, they had moved out to another town, and I did go to the funeral. Wait a minute, yes. Warren and I did hear about it, and yes, we did go to the funeral in Homer, but it was, I think we got there too late or something like that, and let's just don't even bring that up.
Okay. Well, where are they buried, David and his wife?
I think they're buried in the New Orleans, in a New Orleans cemetery where
okay. They
can take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not buried in the cemetery that I take care of.
Okay.
Well, in fact, we don't bury people anymore.
Right. Right. Okay, if there's not anything else, then I will turn off the tape.
All right, ma'am.